Good to see you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. Several of you have asked. I feel 100% better. I might have to pause and take a drink at some point because I still got a little bit of the cough, which some of you have had this as that seems to linger for a little bit after the fact. But doing a whole lot better, and I appreciate your thoughts and your prayers. Last week when we were talking about the concept of a new year, a new you, and as I was mentioning different resolutions that a lot of people made, when I mentioned reading through the Bible in the year, there were a lot of heads that nodded. And because of that, this morning, I wanted us to center in on that resolution. And I want us to talk about how to study the Bible. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to do your best. And the New King James says, be diligent. The King James says, study. To present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. The Greek phrase there, the word translated rightly handling, literally means to cut straight. The meaning passed from the idea of cutting or dividing something in two to the more general meaning of rightly dealing with or rightly handling a thing. And so as Paul writes to Timothy, he's wanting him to rightly handle, to deal rightly with God's word. Paul is telling Timothy that if we do not deal properly with God's word, then we are not approved by God. And you know, when you think about that, that's kind of a weighty statement. That how we handle God's word, how we approach God's word, our attitude when we deal with God's word is extremely important to whether or not we rightly divide it, to whether or not we handle it rightly. There are a couple of things that are prerequisites, if you will, to coming to the Bible with the proper attitude. Number one, we need to believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. That this is indeed God's word. That God did indeed inspire the men to write it for us. If we're going to come to God's word with the proper attitude, that's something that we need to believe beforehand. We need to believe that the inspired word has traveled faithfully through the ages to us today. Through the process of translation and through that process of it being copied and coming down through the years, we need to believe that God is very capable of making sure that the product that we hold today is what He intended us to have. You see, those two beliefs make a huge difference in what one believes concerning a whole host of subjects in God's Word. So the person who has those proper beliefs concerning God's Word, there are some attitudes that we need to have as we approach it. Six attitudes that I want us to notice this morning as we seek to study the Bible. Number one, we need to study the Bible reverently. We need to study the Bible reverently. If you recall in Exodus chapter 3, as Moses is going about doing his shepherding duties, he noticed the bush that was burning. But then he noticed something unique about this bush. He noticed that this bush, it was burning, but it wasn't being burnt up. You no doubt Moses had seen bushes burning throughout his time there in the land of Midian, but this one was special. And so he decided, I'm going to go and I'm going to see what this is all about. And as he drew near to the bush, in Exodus chapter 3, God called out to Moses, and he said, remove your shoes from your feet, because the place that you are standing is holy ground. I ask you, what made the ground holy? It was God's presence, right? What made the ground holy was the fact that God was there. It had nothing to do about that specific plot of land. There was nothing that had taken place there that had sanctified it other than the fact that God's presence was there. That made the ground holy. And as such, Moses needed to approach it in a certain way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Friends, this book, it's God-breathed. These are God's words. This is what God intends for you and I to know. 700 times in the first 5 books of the Bible, variations of the phrase "God said" can be found. 150 times in the book of Isaiah alone, we have variations of the phrase "God said." 3,808 times in the Old Testament, we have variations of this phrase "God said." The point being driven home that this is not man's word. This is God's word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the people stood up to hear the reading from God's word. Now, I realize today we do that the other way around. The person speaking stands up and the people listening sit down. But during Nehemiah's day, the person who was teaching or reading from God's word would sit and the people would stand. The same was true in the New Testament when Jesus sat down to teach. It was showing that he was ready to teach and the people would stand to listen. I'm not suggesting that we do that, but it shows the respect, the reverence, if you will, that they had for the word that was being spoken. Friends, when we come to the Bible, we need to recognize that this is God's word. That needs to be our mindset. And as such, we should approach it differently. On my nightstand right now, there are 2 books. Both of those books are fiction books. One by James Patterson, the other by another author whose name escapes me at the moment. I'll tell you the plot of the book because that's the one I'm reading. But then sitting in the living room on the coffee table is my reading Bible. I call it my reading Bible because it doesn't have verse notations. It makes it easier for me to read larger sections of Scripture without the breakup of the verses. I approach those 2 areas differently. I don't approach God's Word the same way I approach a fiction book by James Patterson. Because this one is God's Word. It's what He wants me to know and how to live my life. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, as Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Paul says, what we told you, you received it as we intended you to. It wasn't the work of man. That book by James Patterson, that's the words of man. And Paul says, what we gave you, you accepted as the word of God. And friends, when we come to the Bible, that's the attitude that we need to have. Just as God was present when Moses approached the burning bush, friends, when we open God's word, God's present. And as such, we need to have a reverent attitude towards it. Anthony of Egypt, sometimes called Anthony the Great, he was a Christian monk who was born around 251 AD. He made this statement, "Be astounded that God should have written to us." You ever thought about that? That statement is something to think about. I mean, if I received in the mail a letter from the president or from a famous athlete or a famous musician, and they wrote a letter to me, a personal letter. I'm not talking about the stock one that you get that you know someone else did and says it's from that. But a personal letter from that individual, I mean, that's something, would it? I mean, that would make you feel important that this individual took the time to write to me. Justin Pascal in Ripley, Tennessee. God wrote to us. He took the time to give us everything that we need. Friends, when we approach the Bible, when we study the Bible, number one, we need to study the Bible reverently. Number two this morning, we need to study the Bible regularly. We need to study the Bible regularly. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, the psalmist says right there in the beginning of the book of Psalms, he says, but his, this individual that he's talking about, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. When the psalmist talks about the law, he's talking about God's word. Specifically, he probably has in mind the first five books, the Pentateuch, which was for the Jewish people God's law. But notice this man, it's not just an occasional thing that he looks at. The Bible says that he meditates on it day and night. In Psalm 119, and let me encourage you, if you want to read a chapter of the Bible this afternoon as you go home, read Psalm 119. Yes, it's the longest chapter in the book of Psalm, but it is a chapter all about God's word. It's all about God's law, his commandments. In Psalm 119, verse 97, the psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, anything, if we're going to try to do something, if it's going to be effective, it has to be done regularly, right? If I'm going to try to get fit, I can't work out tomorrow and then work out again 2 weeks from now, right? If I have that kind of... Or work out tomorrow and not work out again until Friday. It's not going to work, right? It has to be consistent. It has to be something I do regularly. I can't say, you know what? I'm going to eat several meals from McDonald's today. I'll have a salad tomorrow, and then I'm going to eat at Burger King on Tuesday all day. You see, that doesn't work, right? If I'm going to do something and it be effective, it has to be done regularly. The same is true with God's word, y'all. If I'm going to benefit from God's word, I have to read it and study it regularly. Acts 17 and verse 11. Luke records that the Jews in Berea were no more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they received the word, Paul's word, with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. Notice these individuals, their attitude was to look at it daily. They made a habit of going to the scriptures, of searching out to make sure the things that they were doing were what God would have them to do. Several occasions in the gospel accounts, you'll see Jesus use the phrase as he's speaking to people, have you not read? His point being, as he speaks to them, you should already know this. This is something you should have already come across. This is something you should have already read. I wonder today if Jesus was to speak to us, would he use that phrase? Would he say to us, have you not read? We're going to study God's word the way God would have us to study it. We need to study the Bible regularly. Number three, we need to study the Bible reflectively. We need to study the Bible reflectively. And this is important. While it is great to have a goal to read through the entire Bible in a year, and we'll talk about some very down to earth and ways to accomplish that this evening, it's important that we do more than just read God's word. As we read, we need to reflect on what the text is saying. When you see phrases about they meditate on God's word day and night, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about merely reading it, but it's talking about thinking about it, reflecting on what God's word is saying. When you read God's word, I remember a preacher telling me this one time, and it's something that's always stuck with me. When you're reading God's word, what you're reading, there's three things going on there. Number one, it says something about God. You read a passage of scripture, that passage of scripture is telling you something about God. Number two, it's telling you something about man. And then thirdly, it's telling you something about God's relationship with man. Every time you read a passage of Scripture, those are three questions that I ask myself, three questions that I would suggest that you ask. What's this telling me about God? What's it telling me about man? What's it telling me about God's relationship with man? And then after answering those questions, how does that affect how I should be living? Don't miss out on that last part. That's important. God's word has the ability to change lives. But not if it just sits on the table. Not if it just sits on the nightstand. We have to read it. We have to absorb it. We have to apply it. I went to college at UT Martin. There were quite a few classes. And studying for those tests, I mean, I would put the book right here and just hope by some strange case, the process of osmosis, somehow that material would get into my head. You know, it never worked out that way in those classes. The only way that material got in my head was how I had to read and study the book, didn't I? Friends, it's not going to get in there any other way. You got to read and study the book. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, as God is talking to Joshua several times in this section of Scripture, he tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Remember, this is right after the death of Moses. Moses has died and Joshua is now thrust to the forefront. He's the leader. He's the one out front. And so God told him, be strong and courageous. And then he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, Joshua. But here's what you'll do with it, Joshua. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Here's what that'll do for you, Joshua. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice once again, though, what God told Joshua, you have to meditate on it. Can't just read it, you got to reflect on it. Back to Acts 17:11, when Luke recorded about the church at Berea, remember? They were the ones examining the Scriptures. The word there for examining is a Greek word. It means to sift up and down. To make careful and exact research is in a legal process. This word was used in other Greek literature dealing with legal processes. If a lawyer is preparing a legal brief, is there a lot that goes into that? Absolutely. I'm assuming that's why they can charge so much. They have to sift up and down. They have to make careful, exact research. It's the same word used in talking about dealing with this book. With looking at these Scriptures. We need to study the Bible reflectively. Number four, we need to study the Bible receptively. Here we mean ready to receive whatever the Bible says. Unfortunately, some have the attitude, I'm good with the Bible as long as it goes along with how I want to live. As long as it goes along with what I want to do, I'm good with the Bible then. But don't let the Bible tell me that something I'm doing is wrong. I heard a quote, the problem with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. We would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. In 2 Timothy 3:16, when it's talking about the Bible, yes, it's profitable for instruction, but also for correction. We need to have the attitude of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Remember, God cried out to Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And the third time, after they figured out what was going on, that it wasn't Eli calling, that it was God calling, Samuel said this, speak, for your servant hears. Cornelius had that same attitude in Acts 10:33. As Cornelius is explaining to Peter the vision that he had, as Peter has finally come to him, he says, I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all present in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Cornelius says, we're here ready to listen to everything that you have to say. Acts 17:11, back to the Bereans, it said that they did the examining of the scriptures with all eagerness. Friends, are we receptive to God's word? When we read in God's word and we realize that what God is saying isn't matching up with how I'm living, are we willing to change? Or do we close the book or go to a different passage? We need to study the Bible receptively. Number five, we need to study the Bible responsively. We need to study the Bible responsively. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, John records, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. James talks about that, right? Not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer. Jesus talked about that. As he talked about those two men, one built their house on the rock, one built their house on sand. The storms came, the one on the rock stood firm, the one on the sand was laid waste. But he wasn't talking about the proper way to build a house, wasn't he? He was talking about, here's the one who hears and does, and here's the one who hears and does not. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. When we read God's word, we need to be responding to it. Let me put it to you this way. We will respond to it. You and I aren't going to go to God's word and walk away without responding to what we've read. We're either going to accept what we've read or we're going to reject it. We're either going to do or we're not. We're either going to change or we're going to stay the same. You know, the prescription on the medicine bottle tells you how to take the medicine in order for it to be effective, right?
Right.
If Hayden gives me some medicine that's been prescribed to me, and I go home and I just sit it on the counter and I just sit there and look at it. Hayden, is that going to do me any good? No. It's not going to do me any good, is it?
No.
I have to take it according to the prescription. I have to apply that to my body as it says to do that.
Amen.
I can't just sit it on the table and look at it. Friends, it's not going to do me any good. I have to open it. I have to read it. I have to apply it. I have to respond to what I've read. In Exodus 24:7, we read, then he took the book of the covenant, this being Moses, and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. That's the mindset that we need to have. That's how we study the Bible responsively. Sixth and finally, we need to study the Bible retentively. We need to study the Bible retentively. In other words, we need to hold on to what we're reading and studying. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Some translations read, your word I have hidden. I put it deep down in there. That way I know it's there. We need to commit ourselves to God's word. I'm going to say a bad word now. Memorize. Y'all, no matter your age, we can all work on memorizing scripture. Our late brother Taylor is a great example of that. Still, even in the last few years of his life, you know what he was still doing? He still had memory work that he would work on. I know because we'd go over it sometimes when I'd go to his house and sit with him for a while. Friends, there's no better place to put God's word than in your mind. And then it's always there when you need it. Friends, if we'll approach God's word with these six attitudes, it will make a huge difference in how we go to God's word and what we take away from it. Of course, if we study God's word as we should, the first thing we're going to want to do is we're going to want to become a Christian. The Bible teaches very clearly that for one to be a Christian, they must hear God's word and believe it. We must believe that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God, that he came to this earth, that he lived a sinless life, and that he gave that life on the cross for you and for me, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. We need to turn away from sin. Confess that belief before man and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Maybe you have done that, but this morning you realize you've turned away from him. Great thing about God, he forgives. All you've got to do is come home. We serve a great God. We serve a loving God. We serve a forgiving God. Is he the God you're serving this morning? If not, friends, we hope that you'll make a change. Together we stand and sing.
In the